Welcome back to Morning Talk on the Talk of Mid Utah, KSVC 980 AM and 100.5 FM. Robert Lovell with you alongside a Porter Huntsman. It is time now for our Valley Viewpoint interview for today. And today we are joined by Stephen Santer, the CEO of the Associated General Contractors. And Stephen, thank you for taking the time to join us this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you on as we talk about the PRO Act. And so, first off, just give us a little bit of background for those that don't know a lot about the PRO Act, about what it is and why it's a topic we want to be discussing.
Sure. Well, a couple of weeks ago, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill called the PRO Act, and the PRO stands for Protect the Right to Organize, and it's a rather innocuous title. Because under federal labor law, employees have the right to organize and bargain collectively, but they also have a right to choose not to do so. And the PRO Act actually, besides reaffirming that right, it expands unions' ability to limit that right, limit an employer's ability to communicate with employees about that right, and also gives unions significantly more economic weapons that they can use to coerce employers to do what the unions want at the bargaining table and beyond.
Once again, Stephen Santer with us. So first off, I mean, as far as with this legislation passed, what does that do now for these workers? And I know that some experts are saying that it's going to undermine the privacy, will hurt construction.
Right.
Others saying it's pro-union and those things. So what does it put
sure.
in that right now?
Yeah, so actually this bill impacts all industries that are covered by the National Labor Relations Act, which means basically every industry except for agriculture, railroads and airlines, and obviously it does not cover public employees. So here's how it will undermine employee rights and privacy. So under current law, if a union tries to organize employees of, let's say, a widget factory, and the what they do is they go to the employees and say, hey, will you sign this authorization card? Which would authorize us, the union, to be your bargaining representative. And think about the environment in which that is procured. You have a union representative and perhaps a coworker of the employee show up in the parking lot when you're getting in your car and saying, hey, how about signing this card? What is it? Well, it allows the union to be your bargaining representative. And regardless of how you feel about whether that's a good idea or a bad idea, you might just sign the card so you can get in your car and go home to your family. And under the PRO Act, what would happen is, under current law, if union gets 30% of the employees to sign the authorization cards, that triggers a secret ballot election conducted by the National Labor Relations Board. And in that secret ballot election, the employees have the ability to choose whether or not to have union be their bargaining representatives. But it's in a closed situation where they can exercise their free will without interference or coercion. What the PRO Act would do would say, even if the union loses that election, if they can demonstrate they got 50% plus one of the authorization cards signed by employees, then that would overturn the election. So basically the National Labor Relations Board would say, even though in the non-coercive secret ballot election the employees demonstrated that they don't want the union, we're going to rely more on these authorization cards that the employees signed in what could be a coercive environment. So that's one problem. The second problem is, let's think about why a lot of employees in the private sector choose not to be union. In many instances, it's because they disagree with political positions and political candidates that are endorsed by the union. But yet, if they're in the union and they're paying their dues and their fees, their money is going to support those political causes that they may disagree with. And then another issue is that in the course of this election process, the union can demand, and the employer would be required to produce personal information about all the employees of the company, their home address, their home telephone number, their cell phone number, their email address, and their work schedule, so that the union would have broad access to contact each and individual employee. And there is no restriction on who the union can share that information with. So let's take it a step farther. So that's basically how it deals with individual employees' rights in the process of choosing or not choosing a union. Now let's talk about additional weapons that the unions would get under this bill. So let's assume that there's a hospital. What the PRO Act would do would say that we're going to eliminate the prohibition on secondary boycotts. And a secondary boycott means that a union that has a dispute with a primary employer can put economic pressure on a secondary employer who has no relationship other than a business relationship with the primary employer to try to force the primary employer to acquiesce to the union's demand. And let's take a hospital, for example. The hospital has a contract with a laundry service, which provides the linens and scrubs for the hospital. And that linen service is a non-union employer. And let's assume the union that represents employees that work in laundries goes to the hospital administrator and says, we notice that you have a contract with a provider who gives you your linen service who is a non-union firm. And we think that you ought to employ a union firm to do this. And the hospital administrator would likely respond, well, we have a business contract with that provider. It expires in a year, and perhaps when we get close to expiration, we would put that contract out for bid and see what responses we get and make a business decision on price and ability and quality. And let's assume that that's not a satisfactory answer for the union, and they put a picket line up in front of the hospital. And the picket line says that, hey, you know, this hospital is unfair to labor because it hires a non-union laundry service. So then the union contacts the nurses union that represents the nurses in that hospital and says, hey, we have a picket line in front of the hospital. We expect you to honor it and not go to work. And the nurses decide, well, we have to honor the picket line in solidarity with the other union. And so then the hospital administrator has a quandary. Do I try to work through this strike where my patients are not going to get the quality of care that they require because the nurses aren't coming to work? Or do I go to the linen company and say, hey, I can't use you anymore. I'm breaching our contract. Well, the employees of the linen company are without work now. The hospital is likely going to have to pay significant financial damages to that company for breaching the contract. And that's the only way they're going to be able to get the nurses to come back to work. Now, your listeners might think, well, can't the hospital discipline the nurses for not coming to work? And the answer under the PRO Act is no, because the PRO Act says that unions can call a strike or erect a picket line at any time and for any reason. There are no prohibitions on trying to stop an employer from being able to conduct his business. So that's the biggest challenge, I think, for the business community, is giving the unions that economic weapon that they can shut down a business at any time and for any reason, and the employer has no recourse other than to try to work out an agreement with that union.
Now, once again, Stephen Sandra with us. Stephen, unfortunately, we're getting short on time here, but we can see some of the issues with the PRO Act. What needs to be done at this point? What can be done at this point?
Yeah. Well, in Utah, your two senators obviously are not co-sponsors of this, but they need to know from workers who are concerned about their individual rights. They need to hear from business owners that this would be a terrible thing for Utah. It also undermines Utah's right to work law because it would say that it still would require employees who choose not to belong to a union to pay agency fees to a union for the negotiation and administration of a collective bargaining agreement.
All right. So, again, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. Anything else in just a short time here that you feel like our listeners should be aware of?
Well, if this concerns you, you should contact your senators and make sure they're aware of what's in this bill.
All right. Well, Steve, we appreciate you taking the time to join us and enlightening us on what's in the PRO Act, and we'll just follow along and see what happens next.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Once again, Stephen Sandra with us, the CEO of the Associated General Contractors, for our Valley Viewpoint interview for today. 9 o'clock now this Thursday morning. You're listening.